You have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Our text for today is Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 through chapter 4, verse 1. Again, dealing with family relationships. Now, the last time that we were together was our Founders Day, but the time before that, Chris had given a message on wives and husbands, and this is where Paul began his teaching on family relationships. And it's important to understand that if we don't have the first one right between husbands and wives, then we're not going to get the relationship, the proper relationship with our children. We're not going to have it right. The family must be founded upon a proper relationship between the husband and the wife, and then both of them leading together their children. Much of what we read in this set of scriptures here is very similar to what we've read before in Ephesians chapter 6, almost identical some of this stuff when it comes to the children's responsibility to the parents, and then the parents' responsibility to the children. And then we get into slaves and masters. And the way that we apply that to today, dealing with slaves and masters, is the relationship between employees and employers. Now, we'll discuss more about the scriptural understanding of slavery and all that once we get into Philemon especially. But it is important to realize that it was a norm of the day. It was something that existed for thousands of years. There's many scriptures that pertain to slavery and such in the Old Testament and giving regulations on it. It was there. A lot of times when we think of slavery, we think of the American slave trade and all that had happened during that time and so forth. But when we look in the scripture dealing with slaves and masters, it is different. We'll especially get into that once we get into Philemon. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but we will go over some of this. But family relationships, folks, is so important. We must get that right. That is our first priority after the Lord. We must have a good relationship with the Lord. We must seek to please Him in all that we do and so forth. He is our first priority. Our second priority is husbands and wives. You must have that proper relationship. And in serving one another, you are also putting the Lord first and serving Him, because He gives the commands on how the husbands and the wives are to be to each other. And then thereafter, the children. So, we'll start in verse 20 today, specifically dealing with the children and the parents and so forth. But let's stand and read the scripture, give honor to God's Word. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, so that they will not lose heart. Slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude. That's next week. Let's stop at verse 1 there. Let's have a moment's word of prayer. Father, we again come into your presence and we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Father God, we thank you that you give us that understanding in your word of how we are to be in relationship with you, in relationship with our spouses, in relationship with our children, our employers, our employees. Father, you hit every aspect of life. Father, we ask and pray that you would give us understanding even more so of how we are to be toward one another in any of these relationships. Father, we want to please you in all that we do. We want our relationships to reflect and honor you. Father, we don't want to bring reproach upon your name. Father, give us understanding. Father, let us open our eyes to see how we ought to be. Father, let us do right unto our children. Let us do right unto our parents, our employers, our employees. Father, give us understanding today. Father, and help us to walk faithfully before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you instruct us in your word and given us the ability through your spirit to carry it out. Father God, we love you. We thank you. We give you all the praise and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's children said, amen. You may be seated. Now again, in verse 20, Paul begins talking about the children. Here's the command to the children. It is, in fact, a command. It is in the imperative in the Greek, which it means it is a command. Children, you are to be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, this is something perhaps that children don't like to hear, especially when they get older, hitting those teen years and want to rebel and all this sort of thing. Understand this, that when you rebel against your parents, you are not just rebelling against them, but you are sinning against the Lord. You must understand that. When you do wrong to your parents, it doesn't just stop with them. When you manipulate your parents, when you're rebelling against them, when you curse them, and all the things that children can do, you must understand that it is not just done to them, that you are disobeying the Lord and disobedience is sin. There are many scriptures dealing with this specific issue, especially in the Old Testament. Just to read a few for you. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 17, whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. And there's also a reference in verse 15. For if you strike a parent, you are to be put to death. It's a very serious thing. To curse your father and your mother, or to strike them, or to rebel against them in the Old Testament was seen as a capital punishment. It is a very serious matter in the eyes of God. It's not just something that we take lightly. It is a very serious matter. In fact, when we look at the Ten Commandments, what is the fifth commandment? Honor your father and your mother. This is repeated in the New Testament a number of places. Christ, He repeats this specific command as well. It is so important that it was seen as a capital punishment, and it is so important that it was included within the Ten Commandments that the Lord had given to Moses. Honor your father and your mother. They have a God-given authority over you. They have authority over you. To lead you correctly, yes. They have authority over you to dispense consequences when you do disobey. They are given that authority. But here's the thing, children, that you can understand that when you do wrong, the consequences are coming, and you can control the situation. You really can. Nobody likes it when parents come down on you and parents have to correct you and so forth, but you know it's going to happen if you do wrong. And what are you commanded to do? Honor your father and your mother. Whoever curses his father and mother in the Old Testament, again, is to be put to death. Let me read another scripture to you that emphasizes this whole thing as well. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18. Listen to this. If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him, bring him out to the elders of the city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of his city, This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear. Now, I would just venture to say that many of us probably would have been stoned already. Yeah. absolutely. And probably very few of us would have made it. But you can understand just from these verses in the Old Testament. Now, the punishment of these things in the Old Testament was very severe, but it was to demonstrate how things ought to be. You honor your father and your mother, and to disobey that brought consequences. Severe consequences, because it is something that the Lord does not look upon lightly. It is something that is very serious. And let me tell you something else. That if you desire to serve the Lord faithfully, and you desire to know the will of God for your life, the first place that you start is to honor your father and your mother. The first place that you start is to do right by your father and your mother and be in subjection to them. That's where it starts. You want to know what the will of God is? You want to serve the Lord faithfully? You cannot serve the Lord faithfully and be in rebellion against your parents. It doesn't happen. If you want to serve the Lord faithfully, children, then you be in subjection to your father and your mother, and you do right by them. There are many other scriptures that we could obviously go to. Paul repeats the same command in Ephesians chapter 6. There's a number of verses in the Proverbs that also speak of this very thing of honoring your father and your mother and doing right by them and so forth. But there are scriptures that give encouragement as well. Honor your father and your mother, for this is right in the Lord. This is the first commandment with promise, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6. The motivation also is for you to honor your father and your mother, as Paul says here, because this is well-pleasing to the Lord. He also says in Proverbs, a fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. The motivation for being in subjection to your father and your mother is you know that this is pleasing to the Lord. Do we really want to please the Lord? And if we do, this is where we start. And let me tell you something else. This doesn't stop once you leave the home. To honor your father and your mother is something that you do continually, regardless of your age, regardless how old you get. You are to be honorable to your father and your mother, because this is well-pleasing to the Lord. They have placed you in their care to raise you in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, or the discipline and instruction of the Lord, as Paul says. He has placed you in subjection to them. They have authority over you to lead you correctly. Because that's the other end of the spectrum. Children, you are to be in subjection to your parents. You're to obey them in all things, as what Paul says here. It's well-pleasing to the Lord, and there's no ifs there. There's no, well, what if this and what if this? The only time that you can actually disobey your parents, the only time, is if your parents are commanding you to do something that is contrary to the Scripture. If your parents are trying to get you to do something that is contrary to the Scripture, then we go back to what Peter and the rest of the apostles say, we ought to obey God rather than men. That is the only time. Any other time, you are to be in subjection. No manipulation, that's sin. No rebellion, that's sin. No cursing your father or your mother, that's sin. What you do to your parents goes far beyond them. You must understand that. If you genuinely want to serve the Lord, do what's right by your parents. Now, on the other side of things, Paul says, fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. It's a very interesting word, exasperate. Basically, the reference is stop nagging your children. That's what it means, to irritate them. Or as Paul says, actually in Ephesians, don't provoke your children to wrath. Stop nagging them. Are we to lead them? Yes, absolutely. Are we to correct them when they need it? Yes, absolutely. And in fact, by not correcting them and allowing them to do whatever it is that they desire to do is in fact provoking them to wrath, and it is causing them to lose heart, and there's a number of things that we'll talk about here in a moment concerning that. We do no favors to our children when we allow them to get away with everything. That's one thing that you see in teenagers today is how they can manipulate their parents and they can disobey their parents and they can keep nagging their parents and such until the parents finally say, you know what? Do whatever you want. We'll do that. Or we'll do this and we'll do this. That's fine. That's not right. It's wrong on the part of the children. It's wrong on the part of the parent to give in to the children. We are to raise them to be faithful believers. We are to raise them to be that, to teach them to be faithful followers of Christ. That's your responsibility, parents. To raise your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Not to cause them to lose heart because you're provoking them unto wrath. And to lose heart means to discourage them, to cause them to despair. You are to be a representative of the Lord in the home, and you are to lead your home as the Lord leads us corporately. That is your responsibility. Is the Lord constantly over our shoulder irritating us, nagging us? Any of these things? No, He is not. Does the Lord comfort us? Does He encourage us? Does He chastise us? Yes, He does. All of these things are done out of love. Because that's how it's supposed to be. Fathers, probably better to be parents. Because He is speaking to both. Do not cause your children to lose heart. Don't provoke them unto wrath. And here's some ways that you can. To be overprotective. If you are so protective of your children that you will not allow them to do anything, that you keep them on a tight chain, they have no privileges and you're not giving them responsibilities and times to be able to earn trust, then what they're going to figure is, it doesn't matter if I'm good or it doesn't matter if I'm bad, I don't get any privileges at all, and then I'm just going to rebel. What does it matter? What does it matter if they rebel, or what does it matter if they're good? It doesn't matter if we give them no responsibilities and no opportunities to earn trust. So you can provoke your children under wrath by being overprotective. Must understand that. You can provoke them to wrath by making them feel that they are not important or they're insignificant. If all we ever do to our children is push them off, not listening to them, not giving them time to speak or to express their feelings or any of that, and all we do is just push them out of the way, not giving them a voice in the home, we're teaching them, you're insignificant. You don't matter. That's exactly what happens when we do that. Now, does that mean that we ought to let our children talk back to us and so forth? No, we go back to the first principle. Children, you are to be in obedience to your parents. So you can provoke them to wrath because you make them feel that they are not important or that they're insignificant. You can provoke them to wrath and you can make them lose heart by setting unrealistic goals. And if you set unrealistic goals, here's how the scenario usually goes. If you give them this to do, or you give them this to do, or you have this particular responsibility, or they're doing this in school, or doing this in school, or it's this particular sport, or this particular sport, and nothing they ever do is good enough, you're setting unrealistic goals for them. All that they understand now is that I'm not good enough no matter what it is that I do. And then guess what? You're going to cause even more psychological problems for them when they get older. They must understand, yeah, there needs to be improvement here. Absolutely. You can always do stuff better or whatever. But when they do stuff and they do it well and they're trying, you need to give them encouragement. You know what? This was good. You did good. You know, there has to be a balance there of constructive criticism and encouragement. We can't just look at them and say, you don't do anything right. Because that's going to have an effect on them, especially as they grow older. And the problems that will come when they do get older and the relationships that they have with others are going to be based on how you teach them to be and how you treated them when they were younger. You provoke them to wrath by setting unrealistic goals. We provoke them to wrath, and we can cause them to lose heart with constant criticism. You know what we teach them? We teach them, once again, that they're not good enough, that they're always looking to themselves to fail because they never can accomplish anything well, and then they're looking for the criticism for everybody else. That's how they're going to be. They're going to be criticizing everybody else because that's how they were done. How is someone in that particular place in life going to be a faithful servant of the Lord if we raise them up in that kind of environment with those kinds of thoughts? They can't. We provoke them to wrath when we have a lack of a standard. It's a failure to discipline and leaving them to their self. When we let them go and do whatever it is that they want to do, we don't have a standard for them to follow or guidelines for them to follow, we're provoking them to wrath. We're putting them off to themselves. Go do your own thing, so forth. We're not giving the proper attention or the proper guidance. We're just letting them go. We can discourage them in such a way. We can cause them to despair. We can cause them to lose heart. We can provoke them to wrath by treating them that way. Again, it goes back to, you know, in one sense, negligence. I don't want to deal with you, just go away. But take care of your own self. We can provoke our children under wrath and cause them to lose heart whenever we approve of sin. Your children follow your leading. And whatever you are approving of, they are also going to be approving of. If you approve of sin, if you approve of certain ways to talk and certain actions to do, then guess what? Your children are going to as well. One of the worst things that we could ever tell our kids is, do as I say, not as I do. Because then all we're teaching our kids then is to be hypocrites. Because what's going to happen? They're going to grow up and they're going to tell their kids, do as I say, not as I do. Don't do as daddy does, or don't do as mama does. You need to be well. You need to be good and this, that, and the other. And they're going to look at you and go, but you're not. You want me to talk a certain way and you want me not to say these words, but you're saying them. You want me to not do these actions and this sort of thing, but yet you're doing it. How can we lead them in holiness if we're not leading by example? So be mindful of the things that you approve of, because it will affect your children. And you cannot expect your children to follow something that you're not. And so what happens? You're raising your children up to be just like you are, approving of sin. And that's not raising them up to be a faithful follower of Christ. And children, let me say this. We as parents, sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we discipline wrong. Sometimes we say the wrong thing. Sometimes we do the wrong thing. But one thing that they need to see from us when we do those things is they need to see a repentant heart. Your children need to see you in that kind of state, that when you mess up, you're not justifying yourself in whatever it is that you've said or whatever it is that you've done, but that you demonstrate to them repentance whenever you mess up as well. You're leading by example. As parents, when we lead our children, you know, one of the things that we never want to do is to be wrong. We never want to be wrong. We always want to try to justify everything that we say and everything that we do, and that's not right. Things that I've said, I was wrong. I've not been perfect as a parent either. I've said the wrong things. I've done the wrong things. But what I need to do then is to be repentant of those things and then try to lead my children better. Because I'm trying to be better. I want them to be better. So they need to see from you, parents, repentance and a turning from whatever it is that you've said or whatever it is that you've done. It's never too late to do that, by the way. Sometimes we look and we say, well, they've seen me this way for years and years and years. That doesn't matter. If they can see a change in you and a genuine repentant heart in you, then that will have an effect on them. You know, MacArthur, he quotes this this set of perspectives here from a lady named Dorothy Law Nolte. Listen to this. This is entitled, Children Learn What They Live. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in the world. How true is that? If we desire for our children to be in subjection to us, we desire for them to be in obedience to us, then what we have to do as parents is to lead them right and to be an example for them concerning the way that believers ought to be in the eyes of God and be faithful representatives of how the Lord treats us. And then we turn and we treat our children the same way. That's how it's supposed to be in the home. You are representatives of Christ. You are representatives of your Heavenly Father, and you are to parent in view of that. Let us not cause our children to lose heart because of how we treat them. Let us not provoke them unto wrath by placing on them an environment where they're never good enough. Let us be faithful unto our calling, which is to be their parents. Let us demonstrate Christ to them. Paul goes on dealing with other relationships of slaves and masters. He says this, Slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than from men. And he goes on to say, because you receive your reward from the Lord, not whoever you're enslaved to, or not whoever you're under as far as employment is concerned. Now, we need to understand something very, you know, just hitting on it pretty quick here. The issue of slavery in the Scriptures. Was slavery in the Scriptures? Yes, it was. Was it condemned in the Scriptures? Not necessarily. If we go back and we read in the Old Testament concerning the issue of slavery, if someone was poor and they owed a debt to someone else, they would enter into almost like an indentured servanthood to them. They would be their slaves for at least 7 years, and then they would go free after 7 years. If they desired to remain with their masters, then the master would pierce their ear, and they would be his for their lifetime. Foreign slaves were present in the Old Testament as well. Whenever they would go into battle, they would have prisoners of war. There's not necessarily a jail down the road to go put them in, so what would happen? They would pull them in and make them slaves, and they would serve their masters. Now, there are regulations in the Old Testament concerning slavery, how masters ought to treat their slaves and so forth. And actually, the way that Paul brings it out here is very similar to how it is in the Old Testament as well. Slaves were not beaten and mistreated and so forth. That's not how it was supposed to have been. And we'll talk more concerning the issue of slavery in the Old Testament at a later time when we get into Philemon, because that is dealing specifically with the runaway slave and Philemon the master. But here's what Paul is getting at. Now, the way that we apply it to our day now, the only way that we can is the employee, the slave, the master, the employer. How are you to be to those that are in authority over you? Well, Paul says here, you serve them faithfully. You obey them in all things. If you're working for someone and they want to give you a particular task to do, then you do it. That's what he means. Do it in all things. The good things that you like doing and the things that you don't like doing. It's not for you to pick. If you're working for someone, things need to be done, then you go do it. But he puts this stipulation on it. You do it not to just please men, but do it with sincerity of heart. Understand that who your master is, who your employer is, or who your authorities are, that when you're doing work for them, you're not doing it just to please them, but you must understand that beyond them is the Lord, and the Lord has commanded you, you do it as unto me. Being in subjection to your employers, you are doing right and what is well pleasing unto the Lord. He says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord. Do it to the best of your ability as if you were doing it unto the Lord Himself directly. We don't like authority. We don't like people telling us what to do. And children, this is an example for you. It doesn't matter if you're a child in a home or whatever, you're always going to be in subjection to somebody. You need to learn it early. The task that parents give you, some you're going to like, some you're not. It's going to carry over when you get to be an adult. Some things that you like that your employer is going to ask you to do, some things you're not going to like, but you do it. There was a number of times at a particular job that I had in the past that I would despise the things that I had to do and despise the things of, well, despise the employer. There was a number of times I had to call Richard, and Richard's like, you need to remember something. You're doing this unto the Lord. Or he would just ask me the question, who are you doing it for? I mean, I understand. Sometimes we have to be reminded of that. It doesn't matter if you're in an employment dealing with specifically Christian employers or Christian ministries or whatever the case is. It's just the same in the secular world. You are to be in subjection to your employers. And the thing is now, it wasn't this way then, but the thing is now, if you don't like the job, go do something else. It's not as if you're stuck there necessarily. But you must understand, even when you go to another job, it's still the same scenario. You're still going to be in subjection to authority. Some things you're going to like, some things you're not, but you do it to the best of your ability as unto the Lord. If you're being paid by somebody, it's not up to you to constantly criticize or constantly rebel. And you make your voice heard and make suggestions and things of that nature. I'm sure you can if that's the environment that you're in. But understand, you don't look to receive your rewards from your employers. You're receiving your reward, you're receiving the inheritance from the Lord Himself. Now, again, on the other side, masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. If you have employees under you, This is how you are to be to them. You're to show fairness and justice, and remember that you yourself are a slave of your heavenly master. You're not to lord over people with an iron fist because, you know what? Your master in heaven doesn't do that to you. Again, even in this kind of scenario, the way that our Lord, our Master, deals with us slaves, as we are called in the Scripture, Paul referred to himself a number of times as a slave or a bond slave, or as he uses the word in 1 Corinthians 4, minister, was translated minister in the English, is a third level slave, the guy at the bottom of the boat, rowing it. He referred to himself in such a way. If we have a heavenly master, we are his slaves, how does he deal with us? Does he rule with an iron fist? No, he does not. Does he correct us when we need it? Absolutely. What else is he doing? He's showing us encouragement, comfort, instruction. And that's how you are to be to your employees. Being fair with them. Just, you know, being just with them. Grant them justice. If they're done wrong, you grant them justice. You take care of the problem. Everything in life, regardless if it's a relationship between husband and wife, children and parents, slaves and masters, every aspect of life is to be done in such a way that we are reflecting the very nature of God and how the Lord treats us. He's the example that we follow. Husbands are to love your wives as Christ loved the church. Children, you are to be in subjection to your parents as we collectively are unto our Heavenly Father. Slaves, you are to be in subjection to your employers, to your masters, just as we, slaves of Christ, are in subjection to our Heavenly Master. Everything in life, every relationship in life, especially these that are being spoken of here, are to mirror the relationship with God and His people. We can always go back to what it is that Jesus said in the Gospels, do unto others as you would have them do to you. If you're an employer and you're treating your people in such a manner that you're not granting them fairness and you're ruling over them with an iron fist, would you want people over you to be that way to you? No, of course not. So you be fair. You grant them justice and understand that you have a master also. And the consequences of disobedience to him are far greater. Now, one last thing to point out. In any of these relationships, specifically children and parents, slaves and masters, you know, there is a time for correction. There is a time to be stern. There is a time to rebuke them sharply, is what Paul says. There is a time for that. But you must not act out in anger in such a way that you cause someone else to stumble or to provoke someone else to wrath, whether it's your children or whether it's your employees. There's a time to be stern. I'm stern with my children, especially if I've told them something over and over again, then I have to tell them again with a more stern voice to let them know I'm getting ready to correct you in a way that you don't want to be corrected. There's a time for that. Don't let it be out of anger. Don't let it be just because you're in an irritable mood and they happen to said something that even, you know, made you blow up even more. Keep yourself in check. The worst thing that we could ever do as parents is to make our children stumble. The worst thing that we could ever do as Christian employees is to bring reproach upon Christ because of how we treat our employers. The worst thing that we could ever do as Christian employers is not to reflect the very nature of God and how we treat our employees. How you act in any of your relationships is either going to bring honor to Christ or it's going to bring reproach upon His name. So understand that. Remember that. Be mindful of that. And before you act, before you speak, remember, I have a Heavenly Father. I have a Heavenly Master. How is it that He deals with me? And then respond. We have to be mindful of that. Because when we're not, and we do it out of anger, and a little bit later, guess what? We understand, and I messed up. But sometimes the words that you say, you can't take back. So always be mindful. Let us bring up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Let us please the Lord in how we raise those that He has put in our care. Let us please the Lord on how we treat our employers, our employees. Let's stand if you would. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we again come humbly into Your presence, and Father God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for revealing to us those things that are good and well-pleasing in Your sight. Father, help all of us, whether children or parents, Father God, help all of us to understand that to be faithful to You, that we are to honor our father and our mother, that we are to be in subjection to them, and Father God, that we are to lead our children in Your discipline and in Your instruction. Father, regardless of what aspect of life that we're in or that we're dealing with, Father, always give us wisdom. Your Word says that You give it liberally. You teach us these things in Your Word. Father God, bring back to our remembrance these things that we've learned in those times that we desperately need it. Those times that we desperately need to be reminded of how we ought to be, that we please You. Everything that we do is to please You, Father. Help us, Lord, to apply these truths faithfully to our lives. Father God, I pray that if anyone here does not know You as the Lord and the Savior of their life, that today will be their birthday in the kingdom of heaven. Father God, draw them to Yourself as only You can. And You will once again receive all the praise and the honor for it. Father God, we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. Father, forgive us where we failed You and how we've treated our parents or how we've raised our children. Father, let us start anew. Your Word says that Your mercies are new every morning, and great is Your faithfulness. Father, we love You. We give You all the praise and the honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, Amen.